This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Good afternoon, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this afternoon at www.tsn1290.ca, good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by my colleagues, Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air, like the expert that he is. 3 hours of hockey talk for you on this Saturday afternoon. Coming up in about 90 minutes time, give or take a few, Matt Lachlan, Devils broadcaster, Devils radio play-by-play man on WFAN, will join us to preview tomorrow night's Jets-Devils game. A little bit later on, the New York Rangers are struggling, to put it mildly. We're going to be joined by Andrew Gross from the Bergen Record. He covers the team, talk about the Rangers. And then on Tuesday night, the Montreal Canadiens are in town for their only meeting in Winnipeg this season. We'll be joined by Amanda Stein from our sister station in Montreal, TSN 690, to talk about Les Habitants. You can follow us on Twitter.
That was a weak attempt at French, Drew.
That was about about as much French as I ever speak.
Yeah, that's,
if anything, I'm the guy with the French immersion diploma. I should be speaking French. So we'll maybe ask Amanda Stein a couple of questions in our other official language.
Yeah, I only have one.
You know what? Actually, that wasn't bad. What's the word? The inflection or what's the word?
French word or English word?
Drew's Les Habitants wasn't bad.
Thank you, Ezzy. I appreciate
that. I didn't think it was bad. And Drew spent some time in Ottawa, which is a bilingual city as well. Well, we're all bilingual. Winnipeg's bilingual. But you know what? We'll give it to you there.
Last time I went through St. Boniface with you, you didn't stop at any stop signs.
That's good.
You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Facebook.com/Illegal Curve is our Facebook page. And, of course, the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Remus here?
Remus is not here yet. I know. I'm for one shocked that he's late. That never happens. I mean, it only happens on a weekly basis. But
it's only noon.
Yeah, it's only noon. It's hard to get up for noon.
Yeah.
It's a struggle. Anyways, we'll throw Remus under the bus later on in the show.
Yeah.
2:45 Escapades has been replaced this week. Well, actually, Richard might have an escapade after last night's festivities, but we'll deal with that later on. But Remus will get thrown under the bus regardless at around 2:45 this afternoon.
Yeah, if not earlier.
If not earlier, of course, yes. Anyways, gentlemen, we have to start with, I'll tell you what, the Winnipeg Jets threw themselves under the bus after last night's performance at the MTS Center, going down in defeat 4-1 to the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. We're going to spend a large portion of today's show really talking about that game, talking about the Jets' week in general, because it's been an atrocious week for the Winnipeg Jets. It started last Sunday at home against Anaheim. It continued Thursday night in Minnesota and really manifested itself last night at the MTS Center. 4-1, and they just didn't show up whatsoever.
Well, if we're going to start off with last night's game, which I think you want to, because
it's logical.
Last night's game was in many, many respects a continuation of Thursday night's game. I can't mince words here. It was a bad game, and I have to caution everybody here, though. It's five games into the season here, and there are signs that things haven't changed from last year. But after the game last night, it was it was the end of the season and we just missed out on the playoffs. It's five games into the season. Well, and the Jets did not play well last night. The problem for me in last night's game was that they didn't have any desperation until the third period. And we all talked about this heading into that game because the Minnesota game wasn't a good game either. The Jets had to get off to a good start. They had to score a goal, make a big hit, have sustained pressure, control the pace of the game. They didn't do any of that. The Jets didn't really come on until the third period. Blake Wheeler got the goal, and I wouldn't say that the game was ever close to being close because it was a three-goal loss, but there wasn't a good start. There wasn't a lot of flow to the game. The shots at the end of the day mean nothing. The fact they had 40 shots on net, they weren't quality enough. The only thing that I can think of that was good in that game, in the Jets' respect, Richie, was probably the power play. But it wasn't a good effort. I mean, I think that, you know, we should, you know, have a summit here and have a big session about what ails the Winnipeg Jets? Sure, I guess people are going to do that. We might do that. But, you know, I think there's so much talent on this team that I don't think that they're making it easy for themselves the way they're playing.
Last night's game was a joke. Let's call it what it is. Last night's game was a joke. Sunday night's game was
against Anaheim.
There was no effort. It was nothing. They lost. It was a 2-2 game. There was no emotion. There was no skating. There was no hitting. I didn't see Thursday night's game, thankfully, because all I heard about that game was that it was just as bad, if not worse. You're coming into a Friday night game on a long weekend. Your fans are amped up. They're ready to go. They're having some drinks. They're looking forward to the Thanksgiving long weekend. You played a terrible game the night before. You took a 45-minute flight, probably got in bed before 1 o'clock in the morning. You had an awful performance. You're ready to go, bounce back, and you're supposed to have a great start. They come out, and they get nothing. They get outplayed in the first period. Game over. And that's it. Game over. And They out hit the Stars. Well, first of all, they didn't have the puck at all, so they better have out hit the Stars. Doesn't mean anything. As you said, the shots, totally agree. Means nothing. Power play goal. Let me tell you something right now. Bufflin's shot would have been blocked by Vernon Fiddler and everybody else if they weren't up 4-0. Those guys weren't going to go sacrifice their ankles and such if they're up 4-0 in the third period of a game they know they're going to win. And you're going to hear about Claude Noel, and he has partial responsibility in all of this, but can I see some leadership? Can I see some passion? Can I see a hit? Can I see a hit?
Well, see a meaningful hit. I mean, don't believe. I mean, talk about misleading stats. To say that there were 14 body checks, at any point in that game is an absolute joke. It was figure skating for the Dallas Stars last night.
They did whatever they wanted. They went through the neutral zone unimpeded. Tyler Seguin looked great. That was very much on Tyler Seguin because he's a great player, but also in the fact the Jets didn't take anything away from him in the neutral zone, which is where he's very dangerous. Dallas made a point of starting him down lower in the zone. Why? Because they want to create more speed from the neutral zone, and Seguin can skate, and he can handle the puck. And that line of him, Peverly, and Ben was the best line on the ice by country mile. And I understand that the Jets don't have anybody with the skill level of Seguin. And they don't have anybody, to be honest, with the skill level probably of Jamie Benn. But they have guys who've slot under the next, you know, past all the other Stars, and there was nothing. And if I'm a fan, I look at the roster and I say, where was Zach Bogosian last night? Where was Dustin Byfuglien last night? Where was Andrew Ladd last night? Where was Evander Kane last night? And if you're looking, who's the leader? Who's leading? We talked about this last year. Who's leading? And I like Mark Stewart. Tries hard. Mark Stewart's had a very poor beginning to the season. Andre Pavlik has been their MVP through four games. I know it's only four games, but through five games. No, four games he was great. And so yesterday wasn't great. Sorry, the idea was Lester, he wasn't that good. But you know what? Hey, bail him out. Bail your goalie out. Hey, what's Matt Hauschuk doing on that first goal? I mean, don't you want to stay in the lineup? You're clearing the front of the net. Pavlik, bad rebound on the third goal, but, you know, can somebody get in the way of Jamie Benn? Somebody doing, what's Andrew Ladd doing on the fourth goal? Maybe you want to get in the way of Tyler Seguin. He's known to have a pretty good shot. And this is everybody here. And Claude Noel has responsibility, but at some point, and I know the whole idea you can't trade 20 players, Ezzy. But at some point, doesn't Claude Noel have to look to his leaders and say, are you guys going to play? You guys going to do something? Division rival? Home on a Friday night? Team Dallas hadn't played in 5 days? A team that, you talked about, you know, it's been five games. The Jets don't have a Lindy Ruff. They don't have a Tortorella. They don't have a Vigneault. They don't have an Aikens. They have no new system, no new coach. Same old. And the problem is, same old.
It's one thing to come out and be flat and then pick it up a little bit later on. It's another thing just to not show up at all. And that's three games in a row. I think you can relatively make the argument that the Jets have shown no backbone whatsoever.
Well, I don't think that is the right way, the way I would sum this up. They're not playing well as a team, and they're not executing. And we're talking about the same things that we were talking about last year, and that's what the problem is here. And you know, you talk about leadership, and it's it's really disconcerting when these goals are the result of puck battles. Jamie Benn's goal, he beats Dustin Byfuglien to the front of the net, and that he just won that individual battle off of a rebound. The Tyler Seguin pass to Alex Chiasson, two guys go to Tyler Seguin.
Watch the puck.
And then Alex Chiasson moves in. Jacob Trouba's kind of in no man's land. He's kind of not sure if to take Chiasson
or to cut away the pass.
Cut off the pass, pardon me. And it's the effort level, Drew. And I think that there is the skill on this team to make the playoffs. I don't have a problem with the leadership.
I think
you don't have, even after last night's performance and Thursday nights and Sunday nights, you don't have a problem with the leadership?
No, I have a problem with the way they play.
But you don't think it's a leadership issue?
I think it's the way they play.
So, fair enough. Then, who's responsible? Like, where does that fall?
How do they change the way they play? Because I agree with you that they played. I mean, their play was horrendous.
It's really disconcerting to me that on the second game of a back to back at home, Richie mentioned this is a big homestand here, guys.
Yeah.
8 of their first 10 games at home, you've got New Jersey coming in.
Not good teams.
New Jersey hasn't won a game yet. They lost last night to Calgary. They haven't won a game yet, and they've got Montreal. They're a good team coming up Tuesday, and then you've got St. Louis coming up. Good team. This isn't going to get easier.
But they're not playing on the road to Chicago and Detroit.
No. This is their own building, and this is setting what this. And again, you don't hit the panic button. You know, 5 games into the season, and if anybody says you should, then they're not. They're missing the whole. I mean, that's bad leadership from all angles, and. You've got to set the pace here, set the tone for the season. I mean, it's early on in the season. Some of the bad habits from preseason have kind of found their way into the regular season. And it's completely different, guys, if we're talking about how Dallas outplayed the Jets and they really deserve to win. They did deserve to win, but the Jets didn't make it difficult.
No, it's one thing to lose a hard-fought game, and if they lost a hard-fought game, the tone of this conversation would be a lot different.
Right.
And if they had lost a hard-fought game in Minnesota, the tone of the conversation would be a lot different. And if they lost a hard-fought game against Anaheim, the tone of the conversation would be a lot different.
Right.
They have not played a hard-fought game certainly this week, and you can argue whether any of the first two games were a hard-fought game. I think the argument could be made that maybe with the exception of the Los Angeles game, the Jets have been outworked in every other game so far this season.
Right, and what separates those Western Conference teams that don't have the abundance of talent, the Phoenix Coyotes, the Nashville Predators, the Barry Trotz, the Dave Tippett teams, they you never outwork them.
That's
and
right.
Minnesota's another team that works hard. And, you know,
Teams are all good defensively, those three.
Good defensively. Yeah. And hockey is a game. Richie mentioned, you know, blocking shots and all that. And you hear these guys say finish checks, get pucks deep, block shots, because it's those little things that mean a lot in hockey. I mean, again, it wasn't one or two guys, and you can point out the goals or things that happen. But as a collective, those are the things that are not being done right now. And does the coach have some responsibility? Obviously. Does the captain, the assistant captain, the veterans, they have responsibility? But right now it's not happening. And and everyone saw it last night. No one left that game yesterday happy with the way the Jets played. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Tickets aren't cheap for that kind of a performance.
Let's go to break. When we come back, more on last night's Jets Stars game. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Minutes past the top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. This segment is brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, wearing a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard designed for you by Dr. Les Rikus and the Linden Market Dental Center is an essential part of your protective equipment. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center at 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. gentlemen, we were talking off air about this. We were talking about it last night as well. And it goes back to sort of effort. And you mentioned Dave Tippett and Lindy Ruff in the last segment. The Winnipeg Jets have got to be, if not the easiest team to play against the NHL, then one of the easiest teams. They just do not make it life difficult on their opponents. And they haven't, largely, for the past 3 years. At some point in time, and I don't believe that ails the Winnipeg Jets is Claude Noel's fault by any stretch of the imagination. The blame lies with the players first and foremost. At some point in time, after that first period yesterday, why isn't there anybody in that Jets locker room coming out, just on fire, wanting to hit somebody? And I'm not saying stage a fight, because I don't think that would have done anything. But why isn't there anybody coming out who wants to lay the body on somebody after you've been embarrassed on home ice for the first 20 minutes of a game?
I'll take it one step further. Why don't you have somebody do that at the beginning of the game so you don't get down 3-0?
Absolutely. But you've already, that ship has sailed. You should have done it at the puck drop. Somebody should have come out and laid out somebody to get their heads on straight.
I mean, not to say that if you hit somebody in the first 5 minutes, you're not going to be down 3-0. But the idea is if you engage in the game and you engage the crowd and you engage your teammates, that's what happens. And so there's a bunch of flybys on the squad. And
explain what you mean by flyby.
Flyby is going up to a guy, angling him away from the puck. He gets rid of the puck, and instead of following through and checking him into the boards or in the middle of the ice, you just turn away and you go back to what you were doing.
Sort of like a matador with a bull.
Yeah, and if you watch the playoffs, I know this is not the playoffs, but if you watch the playoffs, there's nobody, no teams make it far to have anybody who's doing flybys. They just don't, because you can't make it far in the playoffs unless you make your opponent pay. And if you play the St. Louis Blues, you're going to feel it. And this team isn't the St. Louis Blues. But there is, there's not a physical presence, consistent physical presence on the squad. You saw a piece of it maybe in Edmonton and a little bit of it the home opener. But aside from that, aside from those first 10 minutes of the first game of the season and the first 10 minutes of the home opener, you haven't seen much physical play at all. And even yesterday, I'm trying to remember who it was who... forget who it was. Was it Trouba who threw the elbow or somebody threw the elbow at Trouba? One of the two. You don't really see too much of the guys sticking up for each other. You don't really see that pack mentality. That Boston Bruins, even Philadelphia Flyers pack mentality. And you speak about easy to play against. The crowd is loud, but so many times the past year and a half, the crowd's had nothing to cheer about. I was sitting up in the press box yesterday. A visiting team comes in here. They're jacked because the crowd is into it. The visiting team gets the energy of the crowd. They come in. Nobody hits them. Nobody makes them pay. And they do whatever the heck they want. It's the best place to play on the road. Doesn't have to be. Bufflin's huge. Bogosian's built like a truck. Trouba's big. Klitson's stocky. He's not tall, but he's stocky. Stewart's tough. The most physical players up front. But you can still lay some hits. But no, there's nothing. Do you ever see anybody in this? Do you ever see anybody playing against the Jets yet? He was worried about going up the middle.
Well, the issue here, and it is a problem, because the whole point of using the crowd and home ice to your advantage is to make it hard for other teams to come into your building. And the first year, the Jets, I think, use that to their advantage. Early on this season, the Jets have not used that to their advantage. And you're absolutely right. A guy comes over the blue line. He should know that Bogosian is going to nail him, or Trouba is going to step up. And I agree with you. Getting back to your original point, I don't think the Jets are the easiest team to play against. And I think that when we have a game like yesterday, it's very easy for us to come on the radio here and point out all the flaws, because they didn't play well.
Disagree, Isaac, because what about the night before, and what about Sunday?
No, I'm saying that, I agree. No, I'm saying that...
How many games do we have to wait before we can... it's fair to criticize them?
No, I'm not saying it's not fair. I'm saying it's fair. You guys are missing the point. Anyways, I think that there are players on this team that are physical. I don't think that by any means we have an entire team of flybys. I think yesterday there was a lack of effort, and when you hear this compete level thing, and the hockey coaches, hockey players, they always talk about this, and I know it's become cliche, but really it does mean a lot, because hockey is a flow game, and last night there was no flow, and they didn't play their game. When the Jets are winning, and the Jets do have a lot of talent, I agree with you, Richie, that they probably don't have the upper echelon level of talent as Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin. Those are top players. I think the Jets are a team that can still be competitive in this division if they play their game. And they have Ladd, Little, Wheeler, I know people have been really tough on them. I don't think that they've been that bad. And I don't think that...
I disagree.
I don't think that the Jets can win games without making it difficult on their opponents. They have to hustle. They have to finish their checks. They have to block shots. They have to do those little things. And you don't necessarily see those things on the score sheet, but when you win games, when you're outplayed, those things rear their ugly heads. And I think that the Jets got lucky by getting out to a 2-0 start.
Yeah, they got outplayed arguably in both of those games. I'll tell you what, it's really hard to win and to play your game when you're giving the opponent unimpeded access into your own zone.
Well, I was going to mention that, Drew. I think you're exactly right about that, the neutral zone. If you talk, Minnesota's is, and I didn't see that game. So
they clog up that neutral zone.
They clog on that neutral zone. Yeah. They talk about like the gap control, the whole, and just for people out there, the gap control is the idea that you don't give the opponent a lot of room. And if you can skate, you can have good gap control. And let me tell you something about the Jets defense. The Jets defense can skate.
The forwards can skate too.
Yeah. So I mean, the gap control in the neutral zone. If you look at yesterday's game, Dallas was doing whatever the heck they wanted through the neutral zone. And if you man, there's some guys who can skate on this team. So why is that happening?
It's just, is it a system? Is that what you're saying? It's a system thing?
I'm not saying so much. It's a system. And I have to go over it again and look at it. But it just can't happen, saying that. I mean, that's just, you can't give the guys that much speed through the zone. I mean, they just can't.
Well, it's a recipe for disaster.
When you have a system that is not, when the players are not executing the system, then the system isn't working. And it's so funny that, we're always talking about systems. Of course, NHL teams all have systems. Some are up-tempo. Some are more defensive style. But at the end of the day, it's about execution and how you're playing. And that is the problem. And if it means tightening up, a lot of last year we were talking about the power play and the penalty kill. That's not the problem anymore. It's not the problem. It's the way they play the game, the effort level, the way they're generating offense, Drew. I mean, people. At the end of the day, it's about goals and assists. It's about the score, and if you win the games, W's and L's, But there's the way you play the game that also is extremely important, if not the most important thing. The Phoenix Coyotes are a very difficult team to play against. They don't give you a lot. And the players that they have, they get the most out of.
If you play a dump-and-chase game, and the Jets certainly play a dump-and-chase game.
They do.
You need to play a heavy dump-and-chase game.
I agree with that.
They just dump it in there. And
they don't chase it.
They don't. Well, or they chase it and, I'm not going to touch this guy. Yeah. You just take the puck and come back at us.
I agree with you, Drew. I think that's a very good observation.
I mean, and that's not rocket science. I think, I have people texting me in the course of the game, and these are people who I would describe as, casual fans, certainly not deep into the game, who say, what's the point of doing that? All you're doing is giving the puck right back up. You're not going in there and driving anybody into the end boards to collect the puck while the guy is dazed. You're just throwing him the puck.
The name of the game, Drew, in the new NHL, I know we stopped saying that after the last lockout, it's puck possession and speed. And puck possession is pretty simple. Mm-hmm. The more you have the puck, your better chances of controlling the play, getting scoring chances, the Detroit Red Wings, the LA Kings, the Boston Bruins, you use your speed, you use your teammates, and you basically have the puck more, and you limit the other team's time with the puck.
And the Jets are not
doing a good job of that. I think you're right there.
How many times did Dallas dump it in last night?
They didn't have to. The Jets gave him the blue line each and every time.
Didn't have to. They dumped. I don't think they dumped him more than five times.
And even when they did, they went and won the puck battles.
It was just a matter of controlling the puck through the zone, through the neutral zone, and creating space, and they did that extremely well.
Yeah.
Credit goes to them, but there's also a blame that goes to the Jets.
Sure, you make it easy on them. Sure, come at me. I'll just stand back. No problems. Honestly, when was the last time you saw a... And you won't know the answer.
And by the way, let me quickly get in there. You know, the first line is a talented first line. I mean, it's beautiful players. I mean, if you take
you're
a
talking
step,
about Dallas's
yeah,
or Winnipeg's?
The Dallas. If you take a step back from an objective point of view and you look at last night's game, you say, well, that's a lot of talent on the ice there. And that's some beautiful hockey that was played. You look at the second line. Second line of Ray Whitney, Cody Eakin, and Alex Chiasson shouldn't be beating you on a night-in, night-out basis. But most importantly, a second line of Ray Whitney and Alex Chiasson has a clear issue with speed. Eakin can move around, but only one of the three can really move around. So you know what the game's going to be. The game's going to be the short passes, and that's what they were doing through the zone.
Sure.
And you have to know your opponent. And these coaches provide the scouting reports for these guys. I'm sure of that. So are you applying what you're being told? Or are you, and that's what goes to the Evander Kane's comment, which we're going to talk about next segment. Are you thinking almost too much about that? And then how do you apportion that blame?
Well, they're going to see Dallas a lot this year.
Yeah.
So.
And they're only going to get better because Jimmy knows what he's doing there. Like, oof.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Evander Kane quote from last night's postgame. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. This segment is brought to you by our good friends at the Certified General Accountants Association of Manitoba. The Certified General Accountants of Manitoba is the largest, fastest-growing, and most diverse accounting body in the province. Did you know that CGAs are among the top 5% of income earners in Canada, with an average yearly salary of $72,000 for new graduates? For more information, contact the CGA Association at cga-manitoba.org. Certified General Accountants, we see more than numbers. Gentlemen, I want to cover a quote from Evander Kane last night.
We don't just see numbers, we see quotes.
We see quotes too, exactly.
Yep.
This is Evander Kane post-game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're focusing a little bit too much on what everybody's saying and what the X's and O's are. I think we just need to go out and play hockey. I think we're hesitant, and when you're in between, you get caught flat-footed. Is that a commentary on the Jets being too rigid with the system? Or is that just, you know, what is he saying between the lines there?
I don't think they're too rigid with the system, Drew. He might say that they're trying to fix the problem by going over the system and the issues as opposed to just playing. But what's the coach supposed to do? Just go out and play, guys? I mean, he's trying to refine the system early in the season. He's got a couple new players. You know, that's on the players, again, to just play. Maybe a little bit on the coach, but talk is cheap, Drew. I don't read anything into that quote, really. They'll say what they're going to say.
Is it just one of those cliches, you think?
Yeah.
You're not taking anything out of it
I know people are. I'm not. Stop talking. Go do something.
Go lay a body check?
Yeah. Well, go score. Go pop a couple goals. Go create something for your teammates. I don't need to, that's enough about this talk going in the room. And frankly, I don't think they're angry enough half the time. I don't.
Well, that was my point back a couple segments ago. When you're embarrassed 3-0 on home ice after the first period, there's no anger. There's no fire.
Drew, forget
in
that. What
players about
the night before?
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, I think they should have been angry with their performance in Minnesota. At any point during the game there, they should have been able to find some fire to fight back.
Just one second, though, Drew. I mean, I agree with you. And Richie's, we're talking about the Evander Kane quote. And Richie is right. At the end of the day, talk is cheap. And the players have to answer the media's questions. And Claude Noel has to do his pregame and his postgame. And that's, that's just mandatory. But what they do on the ice is the most important. And coming out of that period, I don't think they're happy. Nobody's happy to lose.
Are you sure?
Nobody's, well...
Are you sure?
They you're a masochist, maybe.
Yeah. Well, but they're not doing anything to fight back against it.
I don't think, they're not. Nobody likes to lose. And I don't think anybody, unless you find a quote from somebody on the Jets that says, I'm happy to lose. No, I think let's agree that they don't like losing. They don't like to be embarrassed.
We can agree.
And they didn't do anything. And you're right. And that's what, if the Jets are going to be a playoff team this year, Drew, we've talked about it. You got to get the secondary scoring. Goaltending's got to be better. Special teams have got to be better. And the commitment to team defense is going to be better, right? We've talked about that when mm-hmm. we previewed the season, okay? Mm-hmm. Special teams have got better, I think. Power play's been better. Penalty kill's been better. Goaltending's been better. Mm-hmm. Commitment to team defense has not been better.
No.
Secondary scoring, I think, has actually been better. So the commitment to team defense really...
Only because it couldn't be worse, but...
Right. I think the commitment to team defense is...
The biggest key.
Is the biggest key and is also a reflection of what we're talking... Not a reflection. Goes hand in hand with... their effort level and their desperation. What you're talking about is, are these guys going out there and running around and laying checks? And you really felt the fire. You can feel it. It's when a team goes out there and they're dumping the puck in and they're getting in on the forecheck and they're making it difficult and they really want to get back into the game. No, and that's a motivational thing.
3.2 goals a game against. 3.2. Goals a game against. It's five games, I realize. And I think the goaltending has been pretty damn good.
3.2, and that's with Pavlik standing on his head for a lot of those games.
Yeah this, the
But, I mean, my point is about this roster. You look at this roster. There's nobody out there, I mean, who plays with any... I know it's cliche, but there's nobody out there who plays with any sandpaper. There's no crazy guy. You know, if Daniel Carcillo was on this team, just as an example...
I'm not going to do anything.
No, hold
but
on.
He'll run around like a bit of a lunatic.
No. I don't agree with you that there aren't. I think Andrew Ladd is a guy that was the MVP of the season. He goes out there, he finishes his checks, he blocks shots, he does everything. Evander Kane is our best player, and the Jets' best player, I should say, and a guy that's gotten physical. He'll drop the gloves. There's guys on this team. Last night we didn't see it, but to say that nobody on this team, you know, hits or does anything is ridiculous. Jim Slater hits. He blocks shots on the penalty kill.
Ezzie, can you point?
He was laying body checks. James Wright.
In the last
they didn't have a good game last
in
night.
The
they
last
didn't have a good game
games.
Thursday night. But to say that, you know, throw everybody under the bus is ridiculous.
In the last three games, can you point to one player who's come out and who's taken it upon himself to lay a body check to try and change the tenor and the tone of the game?
Yes. And it hasn't worked.
I have a couple problems here. First problem, forget that. I mean, Drew, they're trying. They're just not good. They're not. You know, there's an effort issue. They're trying, but they're not trying, I think, to me, hard enough or showing enough passion. These guys do certain things, but they don't do enough of it. There's a couple other fundamental problems. First fundamental problem is that their best defenseman is Jacob Trouba through five games. No, I'm serious. Their best defenseman has been Jacob Trouba. He's been the best defenseman, and you can see by his ice time. Whenever you want to see, forget the coach's comments, check the ice time. For a 19-year-old defenseman, he's playing a ton, okay? And he's been very good, I think. For the most part, he's made some errors for sure. He's been responsible for some goals, but hey, he's 19. That's one problem. There's another problem, and I don't like to mention it only because I think the guy's a heart and soul guy. But Mark Stewart right now is not a top six defenseman, guys. I mean, he's a seven right now. He hasn't been doing much to do anything, and you have to wonder if they might have to take him out of the lineup. And he's a heart and soul leader type, but if that's not making a difference here, maybe you need to pull him out and get another guy who can skate and move the puck a bit. And maybe that needs to happen. So I think that needs to be considered because Mark Stewart hasn't played to a top six level, unfortunately, because I think, you know, the guy certainly his effort level is there. So those are two problems, significant problems that they have. Up front, the Ladd Little Wheeler line has points, hasn't played well, in my opinion.
I would say that Little's been the best of those three guys.
Maybe, but I just think that you look at the next line, Mark Scheifele, aside from his goal in that first game that was tipped off of the defenseman, I think, hasn't really been noticeable. And we talked about it. Then you got Jokinen, and Jokinen, guys, looks like he doesn't look good. I'll put it that way. So you have up the middle, you have a serious issue. So then people say, oh, you know, let's make changes. You should make changes. Who the heck is Claude Noel? Maybe from the defense, I just pointed out about something like Stewart, but who's Claude Noel going to put in otherwise? Peluso? Is Peluso going to make last night's game different? So who does he have? That's what, you know, his hands are tied to an extent. He doesn't have... They talk about the internal competitions. Better than the year before. Better than the year before. Better than the year before. Still sucks. And what are your options? The options are, internally, you get better.
No,
and that's on the players.
Right. They've got to be better. And it's is there anything more cliche than you got to be better? But we're sitting here talking about how the core players aren't playing well. And they know that. And we'll see this week again. You got a lot of home games.
Yep.
Against, aside from the Devils, you've got good teams coming in.
If the Jets want to be a playoff team, they have to be able to beat Montreal on home ice. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to be, I mean, they should have been able to, they have to be able to beat Dallas on home ice. These are the teams you expect to be battling for the final playoff spots with.
That's right.
And, I mean, there's just been, and you have to be able to go into Minnesota when there's however many thousands of Winnipeg Jets fans down there. And, I mean, it's not a difficult road trip by any stretch of the imagination. We said at the beginning when the schedule came out, these first 10 games were going to be key, and they had to go probably 7-3.
You want to
maybe 6-4.
At least 6-4 over the first 10 games when you play 8-10 at home against, I'd say, average at best competition.
Now they're 2-3.
No, it's, and Drew, you're right. And so the question then is, not question, I mean, you're 2-3, so you have to basically go now...
4-1?
4-1.
4-1? I mean, I haven't seen anything from this team through the first five games. Even the games they won.
The one positive you can say is that they're 2-3, and they maybe very well could be 1-4, or 0-5 even. And from that, you take the fact that if they can play better, they can get wins even though they played poorly and still have wins. That's an optimistic point of view.
Sure.
You can take both point of views. Because you're still only 2-3 and there's been a lot of issues.
Absolutely. That's a glass half full approach to take.
Yeah.
I mean,
if I'm the Jets, I'm thinking that way 100%. I'm thinking I played very poorly and I'm still 2-3.
Sure. You know, we're still hanging around.
You have to think that way, otherwise you're done.
The players have to think that way, certainly. Right. As a analyst or even as a fan.
Now, as a GM, you have to think, you know, a bit of both, I think. As your coach, you better think half full.
Yeah.
And as a player, you better too.
And as a fan, all I want to see is some sort of effort that tells me they want that.
You want to see something that makes you feel like you got your money's worth.
Yeah.
That's what you want to feel like. And I've talked to a number of people from last night's game who don't feel that was the case.
Well,
that's more than a number.
And that's on the players.
That's right.
That's on the guys who skated on the ice last night for the Winnipeg Jets. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Yeah. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, online at tsn1290.ca. This segment is brought to you by our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Mark Forward, just really a top-notch comedian. You got to go check him out. Mark Forward at Rumors tonight and all next week. And, of course, it is, especially given the weather outside, you can feel the chill in the air, so it's time to start thinking about your office Christmas parties. Rumors should be your place to go. Check them out, rumorscomedyclub.com. Some great deals for Christmas for the upcoming holiday season. Gentlemen, I don't want to pick on the guy, but I got to ask this question. You know, what does James Wright do on a game-in, game-out basis that demands he be in the lineup always?
Well, I mean, I don't have an issue with James Wright being the fourth line left winger, Drew. I think my issue, I mean, he tries hard, he skates, he can't score. We know that he can't score, but fourth line left wing, this team's got bigger problems. I think the more fundamental issue is who's the third line left winger, and we talked about that in the offseason. They didn't really address it, and Eric Tangrady's been kind of in that slot, and guys were available. I don't know if Brandon Morrow would have considered coming here, that kind of guy, and they kind of, he's physical, but he's not really a good skater. But a guy, Mason Raymond's a guy we talked about quite a bit, adds skill and adds some speed, and he looks good in Toronto so far. But it's who's the third line left winger? I mean, Eric Tangrady was essentially waived by the Penguins, given up for the least you could get aside from waivers.
Seventh round draft pick.
Right? sixth or seventh, whatever it was. And then James Wright, you get off waivers. I realize some guys luck out, some guys work out, don't get me wrong. But the idea to me as is it's the third line left swing spot that worries me more, because the NHL is very much a three line league now. You have to be able to really be able to attack from three different lines.
Yep.
And they can't. I mean, that's Frolik and Jokinen just looks like he's, you know, looks
quicksand. He's skating in quicksand.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, but then who's with him, and so who's keeping up with Frolik? And
right,
that's a spot to me that's more disconcerting than James Wright. I mean, the James Wright, Jim Slater, and Halaschek, or wherever it is, this team's got bigger problems than those guys.
And Claude Noel has done, Drew, is he started James Wright on the line with Jokinen and Frolik, and then he's bumped him down to the fourth line, and then Tangredi's obviously gone up to the third line. James Wright is still, you know, a young player. James Wright, and if you want to know what his role on the team is, I really like his game. And I know that people see point totals and they say five games and he doesn't have a goal, he doesn't have an assist, but that's not what they want out of him. Mm-hmm. As a young player, they want him to check. He's on the penalty kill. James Wright's dropped the gloves. That's his role, and I think he does a really good job at it. He's speedy. He's got really good speed. And, yeah, you know, is it a bit of a concern that he's not, you know, scoring a little bit? Yeah, you want some offense out of him, because we look at a team like a Boston or an LA, and they get more goals out of their fourth line. He's not going to get 20 goals. Want some more offense. But, you know, James Wright, I have no problem with him being in the lineup. I think that, you know, we're talking about, you know, the Jets and how they've played the last couple games. They're also not scoring. I mean, they at the beginning of the season, they were scoring more goals. Uh-huh. I look at a guy, and we talked about this, you know, in the previous segments. Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin are the top guys on the Stars. Evander Kane is the guy, to me, that is the most important offensive player for this team.
He's not as good as either of those guys, though, is he?
No, I'm not. Yeah, that's not what I want to get into. I'm just saying that Evander Kane, if he can't, two games in a row, if he's not, you know, producing, this team's in trouble. The Ladd Little Wheeler line is essential. That's the number one unit. But Evander Kane has the ability to take over a game, and he did that this season.
You talked about the lack of offense, and then we go back to Evander Kane's quote that, Richie, you don't put any stock into. You know, at this point, is this team better off maybe just trying to open it up? You know, have some fun. You know, if you.
I mean, I don't know, Drew. They kind of open it up, and you watch the Edmonton game, and like there's times where they open it up. I mean, how much more out of control defensively can this team be? I don't think you can do that. You can still play both ways, strong defensively and offensively. But
do you think this team still has it in its DNA 3 years now that they haven't been able to do anything resembling defensive,
Drew,
responsible?
You open it up. You open it up, and you play worse defensively than you're already playing. See you later. The season's over. You can't win that way.
Do you think they can win the way they're currently playing?
You don't have the talent of the teams that are able to do that.
Well, let me ask you this then. I mean, like you said, this is the same system that's now been here for 3 years. It's largely a lot of the same guys in the top end, you know, the top four forwards are the same. And they've never been able to play a responsible defensive system. What's going to change in year three at this point that's going to make everything click?
That's fair. We've talked about that. That's fair.
I know. Is the addition of Michael Frolik, because he's good defensively, going to...
Did he play in the PK yesterday even?
I think you tweeted it out a couple days ago. You were wondering why you haven't seen Michael Frolik on the PK.
What happened against Minnesota was he was hit, and he was kind of slow to get into the bench, and that was kind of the reason why he wasn't playing on the penalty kill. Last night, I'm not sure why he wasn't playing that much on the penalty kill. I don't know if we have the ice time.
I'll look it up right now.
I'm pulling it up.
But he should absolutely be on the first PK unit. But, you know, back to your question, Michael Frolik can't do everything. I mean, he's one of 20 guys, right? So everyone's got to buy in here. And I don't think that they don't want to buy in or they're not trying to buy in. They're just not executing. And, you know, that's an overall team issue.
Michael Frolik did not play 1 second shorthanded yesterday.
Again, there's bigger issues than that. But there's big issues with this squad. And you know, where do you start? I think you start with, we've talked about so many things today, but you want to go back to fundamental hockey? You got to be strong up the middle.
They're not.
And they're not. That's a simple way to look at it. But.
Well, you look at, Dallas last night.
McCarty, you can, probably not second line center, Drew. But Horkoff played a nice job in the third line there. I like Vernon Fiddler as a fourth line center, and Tyler Seguin's a dynamite. So yeah, they're better up the middle than the Jets are.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to overstate, I don't know if there's any teams, maybe Florida, maybe a couple others, that are worse than up the middle than the Jets are. I don't see any playoff teams that are worse. I mean, if you want to go over it, St. Louis certainly isn't, and Berglund and Backes and Chicago. You know, they have Taves. I know they always have the second line center spots always been a hole, but they have so many good wingers. That's kind of a different story, right? And Nobert Taves better than all the Jets' four centers combined. You look at Colorado with Deshane and McKinnon and Stasny, and O'Reilly can play center if you need him to. L.A. with Richards and Kopitar. Anaheim with Getzlaff. Perreault's actually been a nice addition there. Koivu played a nice third-line center. Henrik Sedin, Ryan Kesler. You know, Nugent Hopkins, Gagne, when they're healthy. I mean, let's look at all the playoff teams.
Go to San Jose.
Look at Thornton and, you know,
and Couture. Yeah. Even look at Phoenix, Ribeiro and Hansel.
Yeah. I mean, that's it's fundamental hockey, right, guys? I mean, that's fundamental. And so that's when we keep talking about the blame on Noel at some point. That's why I'm trying to move that blame over, because I personally think Claude Noel is a coach who coaches to his team's ability. So I think if you give him a ninth place talent, I've said this on the show many times, people who listen to the show would know. If you give him a ninth place talented team, I think he'll get you a ninth place. If you give him a 10th place talented team, he'll give you a 10th. If you give him fifth place, I think he'll get you a fifth. I don't think he'll get you much worse. I don't think he'll get you much better. But what's the talent on this team? And then what's the end result? And then who do you blame?
Well, why are you surprised at that point? I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, you know, exactly. I mean, in the preview show, Ezzy, you thought this team was a playoff team. Richard and I both thought they weren't a playoff team.
But not a team that was complete. A team that certainly had a chance.
Sure,
still does have a chance.
Yeah,
by the way,
absolutely not a 14th place team in the Western Conference.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you just, to me as a fan, I mean, you look at the everybody's worst team in the NHL this year was the Calgary Flames for the most part,
and they're undefeated.
They play hard, and maybe it's because they know that they don't have enough talent to do anything else.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the Jets, as a team, the players just seem so easy on themselves, and they have for the last number of years, that they think that they can.
You may see Noel hawk a couple guys up in the press box. Again, who does he put in? He might just do it because he doesn't have anybody better to put in, except maybe on defense. But he might just do it to make a statement.
That's what Gary Lawless wrote that in the Free Press today. He thought that, you know, maybe it's time where somebody takes a seat. Now, I don't know if that like you said, that doesn't improve your team because there's nobody who can.
They haven't called up anybody from St. John's yet. I would be surprised if that doesn't happen in the not so distant future.
Who are they going to call up?
Forget that. Let me ask you a question. Unless you want to talk about the other side of the break, who would you sit?
Let's do that. We'll talk about it on the other side of the commercial break. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
The Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
One hour down, 2 hours to go. You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. To my left, Richard Pollock. And in between Richard and myself is Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim gets us on and off the air. Like the expert that he is, follow us on Twitter at IllegalCurve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website is www.illegalcurve.com. Richie, before the break, you mentioned sitting down a player, having somebody go up to the press box to make a point.
I'm not sure I'm in favor of it, but I think it's probably being considered. And I guess the question really is, then who would you sit? Because I don't think there's an upgrade. I think you probably could get an upgrade on defense. I just think Stewart right now hasn't played well enough. You can bring somebody in like Redmond or Postma, whatever it may be. But although Redmond, then that matters with numbers on your roster, 23-man roster. But,
well, I mean, Postma's up here. So if Stewart's going to sit, you'd have to think it's going to be Postma who's going to go in.
But is that the best change, is what I'm saying. So, sure. And then if not, then how do you do roster manipulation with Redmond? In any event, players, forwards, I mean, who you taking out,
right,
and who you putting
in. And there's an issue right now because Thorburn is injured, so it would be Peluso.
Yeah.
And he's the extra forward right now. And you make moves not to make a point for the team, right? Like if you're going to sit someone out, you're making a point to him that he's not playing well.
So
but you want to make a move so that you have a better chance at winning, right? That's ultimately what Noel wants. He wants right. wins. Sure. So if he thinks that putting Peluso in or taking Wright out or keeping the roster the same, it's because he thinks that that's the best roster to win games. And
that's right.
Sunday's a must win. They got to win. At the very least, they got to get a point.
Yeah, your point.
Because they've got no points in the last two games. They haven't played well. They're playing a Devils team that...
Last three games.
The Devils are a team that hasn't won a game. They've only got overtime points.
They're traveling forever.
Yeah.
And they're a team that you can beat. Corey Schneider will most likely get the start.
He's getting the start.
And he's played here in the MTS Center with the Manitoba Moose, and it'll be nice for him to... He'll get a nice reception from the MTS Center fans, I imagine. But it's not going to be an easy game because there are no easy games. Florida beat Pittsburgh last night, so, I mean, anybody can be beaten. But the Jets, at the very least, have to increase the way they play and make it harder for the Devils and just play a better game. Yeah. Because I do think that this team is just... They've had a couple of bad games. And in this city, when the Jets lose a game, and especially a game that they didn't play well, wow, it feels like we're doing a post-mortem on not just the game, but the way they've played.
What's the manner in which they've lost the last three games? I don't think that people are... I mean, some people are overreacting, obviously, but I think for the most part, the concerns tend to be more on the valid side.
Yep.
They just have... I mean, you can't play as poorly as they have for three straight games and not expect people to be talking about what ails you.
Right.
And you can't expect people to just, you know, to keep their powder dry and say, oh, they'll turn it around, unless you give them some sort of sign that they're going to be turning it around.
Who you question is, we'll get back to that question, of who you're sitting on the forward. So you're not going to sit Ladd, Little, or Wheeler because you need them on a nightly basis. So then you get to Kane. You're likely not going to say Kane. Why would you say Kane? You're probably your most natural goal scorer. Mm-hmm. And then are you going to sit Setoguchi? If you do, what does that do?
Well, and then it poisons the relationship.
And if it doesn't, I mean, look at Scheifele. Does that kill his confidence? And then who plays second line center in that situation? Then you go to the third line. Does Eric Tangrady sitting matter to anybody in terms of effect?
That's the problem. They can
sit. And then does Jokinen sitting? That's fine. Probably deserved, to be honest with you. Who's playing the third line center role?
Well, I mean, we know it's not a role that Jim Slater should be playing. I mean, unless you're, and I mean, with all due respect, I mean, you know,
you're gonna sit for a leak. I mean,
he hasn't been a problem.
I'm gonna sit for a leak, and then you're gonna sit, and then you're sitting the guys in the fourth line. If you're sitting guys in the fourth line, I mean, I don't think that's a wake up call to anybody. So the idea that you're gonna sit, I mean, in theory sounds fine. In practice, I don't think it really does much.
It's one thing if you have real talented players who can come up and do it, and maybe. It may be 30 games in, there's somebody tearing it up in the AHL. Maybe Eric O'Dell or Adam Lowry or somebody's tearing it up down there.
O'Dell and Adam Lowry are not changing this season. They're not going to change the course of this season.
We talked about it last hour. The core of this team, there's 11 players under contract. We talked about that on Wednesday's NHL midweek show. There's 11 players under contract past the 2015-2016 season. So the core of this team is Andrew Ladd, Brian Little, Blake Wheeler, Vander Kane, Bogosian, Trouba. But more so, Trouba's a rookie, but Bogosian, Enstrom, Bufflin. I mean, the guys that are on the team now, those are the guys that have to make the difference. I agree with Richie. Adam Lowry's playing his first pro year, and he looks great. He was one of the most improved players, if not the most improved players in the WHL last year. But... getting Adam Lowry in the lineup isn't going to change the way everybody else is playing. These guys got to look in the mirror and start playing better. I don't think I need to come on the radio and say that. I think that they know that, and it remains to be seen. We'll see on Sunday. We'll see next week on Tuesday against the Habs. We'll see if they've changed and they are upset with the way they've played. And I imagine they are. And we'll see if the results change. And if the results don't change, then I think you're going to see if the Jets get in a situation where they're 4 or 5 games under 500 after this homestand, then you got to look at making some moves, bringing someone in or something to change it up.
It's not easy. I mean, it's a lot easier said than done. And like
it
you
is.
Said,
yeah,
I don't is. Think that, I mean, like you said, there's nobody of any significance on this roster that you're going to sit down that it's going to make, going to make a difference. And if you sit down one of your significant people, I think you're just waving the white flag at that point.
I don't know about that, Drew, but I think you're just very possibly losing that game. very possibly having an effect on that game, and I don't know if you have a long-term positive effect. All those guys, the four core guys who would be sat down, exclusive of Setoguchi, the four core guys would be the top line and Kane. They've all signed long-term deals, so they're not going anywhere.
Right,
but,
and like you said, Richie,
do they deserve to be sit down, or do they need to have a wake-up call? They don't deserve to sit down.
If you pull those guys out of the lineup, those are your top guys.
Who's replacing them?
You're minimizing your chances of winning.
Well, I think the problem is you can't pinpoint one of them their performance has been that problematic.
You don't sit the top players, so the issue is that it's not going to make a difference. And you get to the back end. If you want to talk about the back end, I mean, who are you going to sit?
Well, you know what? I mean,
we already talked about it. I mean, I think I would pull out Stewart just based on merit, not based on trying to make a statement.
And Byfuglien and Enstrom are playing like Byfuglien and Enstrom play. You signed these guys to this contract knowing what they are. They're playing
Dudley
the exact same way.
Byfuglien and Trevi signed Enstrom.
Sure, but I mean, you knew what the kind of players they were. They're not doing anything. They're not regressing in their own defensive zone. They've always been offensive-minded players. And I'm shocked that now defensively you're not that good. You were never that good to begin with defensively.
They've got to be better. As a team, they have to be better.
As a team,
and I know we're going over the entire roster because. These guys individually make up the team. Thank you. That was a brilliant,
good insight.
Brilliant thought.
Just can't
there.
Get that insight anywhere.
Just great insight. But it's a team thing. And I think you make a valid point. I think people left that game, fans, media, everybody, left that game saying they didn't play well as a team. It wasn't Andrew Ladd. It wasn't James Wright. It wasn't Zach Bogosian. It wasn't Pavlik. It was the team didn't play well.
Sure. In the Anaheim game, you could pinpoint that was a game that Grant Clipson had a really bad game, Anaheim game.
And hockey is different than baseball. It's different than basketball where you say these two guys, individuals can take over a game. But the Dallas Stars, Richie mentioned it, Sagan and Ben on that top line with Peverly were great. But they played pretty good defensively as well. Gonchar doesn't look that bad. I was surprised at how good Gonchar looked, not just on the power play, but at even strength.
Everybody on Dallas looked good because the Jets made them look good.
And they looked good. They played well, too.
They played well. But it's easy to play well in that scenario.
They played a quintessential road game. They got the lead early, took the crowd out of it.
That's right.
And then when they had the four-goal lead, the game was over after the second period.
And don't point to me the shots or the effort that the Jets put forth after that. I mean, of course the Jets are going to outshoot Dallas at that point in time. Dallas has no incentive to give up the puck. They'd be fine, figure skating around with the puck the entire game at that point. You're up 4-0. We battled hard in the second and the third period. No, you didn't. You battled hard. You just put lipstick on a pig. Underneath the lipstick, it's still a pig.
The effort's got to be better. The results will be reflected with that effort, and they got to make it. They got to make it harder here because they've got five home games coming up. It's really important. There's no excuses. The Jets, aside from Thorburn, are healthy. Thorbs has got an injury, but the Jets are healthy. So they got to win these games. They got to start winning.
It's a good point by Ezzie, too. I mean, there aren't any injuries right now.
No, there's no built-in excuses here. You can't, sometimes our second line center's injured and our first line right winger's injured. And you can, and there's a built-in excuse there. There's none of that. Yeah, this is game five of the regular season where your entire team that is consequential, all due respect to Chris Thorburn, when your entire team that's consequential is healthy and you still can't show up. It's just an effort thing. That's all it is. It's not having the drive and the effort to go out there
It's execution too, Drew. It's not just effort.
Well, those things are pretty, I think, are tied together pretty well.
And it's talent also. Those are all factors, but yes, I think effort over the past three games has been less than impressive.
Offensively, the Jets should be able to do more talent-wise against the Devils' defense, the Stars' defense, than they did last night. It's not like that's a shutdown defense over there. Same with Anaheim. It's a fine defense in Dallas. It's got some nice pieces, but there's no Ryan Suter and Shea Weber on the back end there. You have a very old Sergei Gonchar that nobody tried to take any advantage of.
Well, and that's actually Dustin Byfuglien created that penalty. If you remember there in the third period, he drove the net and went around Gonchar. Gonchar took the penalty, and then Blake Wheeler got the power play goal after that. You're right. And, we've already said it, for the last hour, right, really, is that they have to perform better. Their effort level has to be better, and their execution has to be better.
let's put last night's game in the rearview mirror, and when we come back after the break, we'll talk about tomorrow night's Devils-Jets game, where the Jets have an opportunity to shut us up for at least a little while. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You're listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and the website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is www.illegalcurve.com.
Ezzy was reeling in the beers last night, right?
No, just root beer.
Oh, yeah, root beer.
Yeah, sorry. Ginger beer.
Sorry. Yeah. That was some odd-looking ginger beer at that point in time. Jets-Devils tomorrow night. Opportunity, I mean, you know, for the Jets to bounce back in the face of, you know, what has been a lousy three-game stretch. And you look at the New Jersey Devils, and they're winless on the season, two losses, three overtime losses. So they've been competitive for the most part. Mm-hmm. They don't score a ton of goals, 11 goals in five games. They don't have a great defense. They've given up 18 goals in five games. I mean, they're on a road trip. They've been traveling from Vancouver. I believe they went to Calgary. They're back here Edmonton. In Winnipeg. Were they in Edmonton
yep.
as well?
Yep.
Okay, Edmonton
as
well.
It's a Western Canadian. It's kind of a neat Western Canadian road trip.
An old school road trip where you play all the Western Canadian teams.
Blew a huge lead in Edmonton.
That's right. Weren't they up 4-0 in Edmonton or something?
It's 3 or 4-0, I don't remember. Yeah.
Not a very good team. I don't think I'm telling tales out of school when I say that. This is an opportunity the Jets simply have to take advantage of.
Yep, the Devils, you mentioned, have kept the games close, but they haven't actually won a game yet. This year, they're going to have to win close games. They're not going to score a lot of goals this year. Patrick Elias and Jaromir Jagr are playing on the top line, and they had, the second line, and they had Zubrus on that line. Elias and Jagr have actually been pretty good, but those guys at their age aren't the guys leading your team, and then you've got Henrique and Zajac, and Brunner's been not bad. They signed him after inviting him to training camp, but the strength of this team is in goal. And Marty Brodeur played last night against Calgary, and Sean Monahan ended up getting the winning goal, but Corey Schneider's the number one goalie there. I think, even Martin Brodeur himself would admit that even if he wants to still be the number one goaltender, I think he's the heir apparent there. I don't think anybody, we're not fooling anybody by saying that. But the Devils are going to have trouble scoring goals, and defensively, it's not their strength anymore. The strength of those New Jersey Devils Cup teams was always in net and on defense with Stevens and Danico and Niedermeyer and Rafalski. And they're having trouble. Adam Larson is a guy that we talked about on the midweek show, in and out of the lineup. He replaced Mark Fain. Peter Harrell, they're a little weaker on the bottom pair there. So I would say that the Jets should win this game. And there are only a few teams where you say
that. On paper, they should win that game.
On paper. Yeah. And you know, the Devils are at the end of a road trip in Calgary. So, you know, this is a winnable game. This is a game where you can take advantage of the Devils aren't the fastest team. A guy like Volchenkov has really been a disappointment. Not just this year, but over the last couple of years, he's slower, and he's a guy, too, that's in the Devils' top six. Really like Bryce Salvador, who's obviously the captain. But, you know, the Jets, this is a prime game for the Jets to get back on the right track, I would say.
The Devils aren't a powerhouse by any means, but they're also not going to go down lightly.
Sure.
And, you know, you look at this team, and they're not going to be a power scoring squad, but you have lines that you have three lines that can score, even four lines that can score. Henrique in the last game, Henrique, Klo, and Ryder. You have Jagr and Elias have a nice chemistry. You have Zajac on your other line. So there's some talent there. You know, it's not going to be superstar talent, but there's some talent. You have Corey Schneider between the pipes, and you have a team that I think is very well coached, even though I don't love the talent on the overall roster. it's not going to be an easy game. You know, it's a team at the end of a road trip and all that, but it's also a team that hasn't won and is desperate to win and has some great chances against Vancouver, against Edmonton, against Calgary. All those games were one-goal games.
Well, that's exactly it. They're not a team that they haven't rolled over by any stretch. The first game of the year where they played at Pittsburgh, they lost 3-0, but since then, they lost 4-3 at home to the Islanders in a shootout. They lost in Edmonton in a shootout. They lost in Vancouver in overtime, and they lost in Calgary by a one-goal margin. They've been competitive, and they're going to... I mean, they're not going to be a walkover. They're not going to be just...
No teams are in the NHL. So, I mean, that's the thing. And so, Devils come in, and Schneider's obviously arrested, if that's an issue, at the beginning of the season anyhow. He's coming in. He's played here. He's comfortable here. Probably be motivated to play here, not with any kind of malice, just because it's, you know, fun for him to return to where he played his AHL hockey. And you have a solid team, nothing special, who I think the coaching is really good on this team. I've said that before.
Peter DeBoer.
Yeah, I like he's a good coach.
That's why I want to see the Jets on Sunday play a dirty game. I don't mean dirty as in cheap. I mean more so gritty. Make it difficult for Corey Schneider because he is comfortable here.
You can push him around. This
Corey Schneider was easily the MVP, and he deserves... I hope he gets a standing ovation. He probably will. He'll get some type of tribute for it because he was a fantastic goaltender for the Moose that year that they went to the Calder Cup Finals. I think it was against Hershey.
Yeah.
Maybe we can check that.
It was Hershey.
Yeah. And, but they got to make it difficult for him. And, you know, when you're coming into the building, the Jets are got to finish their checks and outwork and outskate the Devils. That's what they got to do.
If they put out the same effort that they put out against Dallas and they put out against Anaheim and they put out against Minnesota, they're not going to beat anybody in the NHL with that kind of effort. And you would hope that they would know that. Because you don't win these games strictly by what it says on paper. You do have to go finish your checks in the corner if you're going to keep playing that dump and chase style, and I'm sure that they're going to. I don't expect them to become a team that's going to change their style overnight. But if you're going to play that style, you have to go finish your checks. Otherwise, it's going to be the exact same thing that we saw last night. I mean, you look at this Devils defense, their defensive pairs. I mean, come on, guys. This is Bryce Salvador and Marek Sedlicki. I mean, those guys are not. Those guys are long in the tooth in the NHL.
Now, Salvador is a solid stay-at-home guy, Drew, and Zdlicki's not big, but he can move the puck.
Right.
So they have assets to the games.
But the Jets forward group, you would expect that the Jets top six are better than those two than that defensive pairing.
Well, it's not. I don't look at it as necessarily up against. I mean, you're obviously going to match up against the pairing, but to look at it like. You know,
I know it's not simple.
Straight up like that, but I know what you're saying. I mean, the Devils' top pair, I would say, compared to, let's say, Jonas Brodin and Ryan Suter, isn't as dominant.
Right.
So, I mean, I see where you're going with that point. I mean, the Jets should be able to score some goals against the Devils.
Well, at some point in time, you have to look and say, okay, where, you know, are our forward group better than the majority of their defensemen? And I know it's not as easy as that because it's a five-man game and everything else, but it's certainly to some extent that way. I mean, Anton Volchenkov, you said he's struggling. He's going to be paired up with Peter Harold, and Andy Green and Adam Larson are going to be paired up together. And
right.
I mean,
and you know,
it's not a Hall of Fame defensive group there,
guys. Last night you had Stefan Robida, who we know for Dallas has been a tremendous defenseman. He was on the radar for the Olympic team, I think, back in 02 or was it 06?
That's how
highly regarded he is. He's a really good defensive defenseman, physical guy. And
2010.
Oftentimes, the Jets don't deal well with adversity. You know, and they've won a lot of hockey games here over the last couple of years. They've been close to making the playoffs, but sometimes they don't do well when things aren't going their way. And I think that's a byproduct of being a young team. They're one of the youngest teams, and they got to find a way to battle through that. They got to find a way to get over when they're not playing that well, or you know the puck isn't going in the net. They got to stick to the game plan, and you know I think that they will. I expect a much better performance from the Jets on Sunday. Absolutely, the last two games has just been awful.
I like your optimism, Mezzi, but. You know, I don't necessarily know that it's going to happen. I have to see it.
Well, you'd be psychic.
Make me
if
a believer.
You,
you know, I'm from Missouri. Show me state.
Are you?
I'm really not. But, you know, show me that you're going to handle the adversity. Haven't seen it that often. You know, show me that you're going to be able to do it. That's all I'm saying. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the Jets Devils preview. We're joined by Matt Lachlan, voice of the New Jersey Devils on WFAN Radio. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.